Diwali, it's a corruption of the two Sanskrit word dipa. Dipa means lamp. Leap, dipa, lamp or light or candle. And vali or vali means a collection. So it, when Ramchandra returned to his capital, Ayodhya, after being in the forest for 14 years, he came back on the dark moon night, which is today. So the full moon and the dark moon. And so on the dark moon night, Amavasya is called, and the dark moon night, he returned. And to receive him, he came at night, so they had lamps. The whole city was lit up with lamps. So that's what today is. And we're going to be discussing that festival. And it's in connection with Ramachandra's pastimes. You a little bit familiar with Ramachandra? We're more familiar with Krishna's pastimes in ISKCON and less familiar with Ramachandra's pastimes. But, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, right? So the other half. Although in the Hare Krishna mantra, Rama can mean Ramachandra or can mean Balaram. Equally, they're both Rama. During the ceremony where Krishna and Balaram were given their names, one of the names given to Balaram was Rama. In the pastime of Lord Ramachandra, he was to become king, and something very unfortunate happened. One of the stepmothers, that is, his father, the king Dasarath, had three queens, three principal queens, and one of them, named Kaikeyi, you know the story? No. Kaikeyi had her mind corrupted by her hunchback assistant. Her hunchback's assistant name was Mantara. Mantara, in a very nasty, spiteful way, convinced the beloved queen to do something that was totally out of character for her. She became convinced by her assistant, hunchback assistant lady, that Ram becoming king was a plan of her husband, the king, Dasarath, to destroy her son, Bharata. So, without all the details, a long story, very long story. She convinced Kaikeyi to not ask her husband, the king, Dasarath, to fulfill his promise for two benedictions that long ago happened without all the detail because it's a long story. So the two benedictions, Kaikeyi was coached by her hunchback assistant, maidservant, Mantara. One, Ram shouldn't become king. You should go to the forest for 14 years. And two, instead of Ram, your son or her son, Bharat, should become king. And so, coerced by his good queen, Kaikeyi, that promise had to be fulfilled. It's a long story. He fainted with this suggestion. How can you say this? You love Bharat. You've said many times you love Bharat even more than you love your own son. How can you say this? But she was stubborn and she insisted, and Ram went to the forest for 14 years. And he didn't go alone. He went with his, there were four brothers, and the one that was super close to him was Lakshmana. Lakshmana in Krishna's pastimes is the same as Balaram, excuse me, Lakshman in Ram's pastimes, Lakshman is Balaram. You with me? Yes. Krishna in Ram's pastimes is Ram. In Ram's pastimes, Balaram is Lakshman. They were like all inseparable. Inseparable. And when he was 24 years of age, when he was banished to the forest, he was already married to Sita. So, long story, Sita went with them. Sita, Lakshman, and Ram went to the forest for 14 years. 14 years. The idea with 14 is, if Bharat became king and Ram's still around, it's going to be tough for Bharat to rule the kingdom. But if Ram's gone, 14 years is enough time that everyone gets used to Bharat being the king and everything will be nice. So it was 14 years. Magic number. For 13 years and 8 months in the forest, mainly Ram was going from hermitage to hermitage. Their sages were living in the forest, and Supreme Lord was giving his association to his devotees, the sages in the forest, which is natural for the Supreme Lord to reciprocate with the love of his devotees. But in addition to giving the satisfaction to his devotees, they wanted to see him. They were seeing him in their meditation, but they wanted to see him in person, so he came. But there was another purpose to be fulfilled, and that is to annihilate the miscreants. You know this from Bhagavad Gita, right? Pritranaya sadhunam, to give protection to the devotees. Vinashaya cha duskritam, to diminish the influence of the duskritis, the demons, and to restore dharma, those three things. Chapter 4, Bhagavad Gita. So he had given his association to the devotees, sages in the forest, but he hadn't annihilated the demons. So there was the big section where there's a long story, but Sita was kidnapped by, terrorist number one named Ravana. Ravana? Didn't hear his name yet. Ravana. Have you heard his name before? Yes? Masamenas. Okay. So, Ravana kidnapped Sita. Ravana was trying to find Sita and bring Sita back. And it's a wonderful narration of love and separation. It's not just like a love story. It's the Supreme Lord in separation from his eternal associate, Sita. And many adventures to find Sita involving Hanuman. You've heard of Hanuman, of course. So Hanuman was told where Sita was. He jumped, really big jump, 800 miles. It's a big jump. But he was the son of Vayu, wind god, so he could do it. He went to Lanka. Many things happened in Lanka. He finally found Sita. There's a really beautiful section where for 95 verses he just sings the glories of Lord Ramachandra. He's a little monkey sitting in a tree. Sita's at the bottom of that tree. It's been almost a year. She hasn't eaten anything. Her body is emaciated. She's been tortured by female rakshasas threatening to eat her and torment her and, submit to Ravan. Who couldn't imagine what it was like? I mean, torture. And so there's this little monkey up in a tree singing very sweetly the glories of her beloved Ram, describing There's many verses, like 30-something verses describing what he looked like. And then another group of verses describing his activities with Sita in Ayodhya. Then the description of Sita being kidnapped by Ravan. He tells the whole story of Ramchandra's pastimes. And then he tells the story of who he is, how he met Ram, how he was sent by Ram to find Sita. And then he ends by saying, "Oh, where is she? Where is Sita? Where is Sita?" And she's looking up, you know, where's this voice coming from? And she sees Hanuman. And she thinks maybe it's a trick. So he keeps singing, and he sees by her face that she's happy just to hear the glories of her beloved Lord Ram. And he comes down and extends his hand and gives to Sita Ram's ring, because Ram gave to Hanuman his ring. So she would know that you're my messenger. She took the ring and pressed it to her heart, and, "Oh, you're the most wonderful devotee of Ram." And so many things happened. He went back, informed Ram, Sita's been found. They made a bridge over the ocean. A bridge? You know about this? A bridge of rocks that floated? Huh? A bridge of rocks that floated. That's a wonderful part of the Leela. And then the whole army crossed the bridge of rocks that floated, entered Lanka, 800-mile bridge, and entered Lanka. And a big battle, and this and that and the other thing. You know, the battle scene, little boys like, hear stories of battle scenes. Very interesting, you know, because they had mystic powers, both sides. And finally, Ravana was destroyed. So that's the long epic. And Diwali is from the time that Ravana is destroyed to returning back to Ayodhya after 14 years. I mean, Srimad Bhagavatam is 18,000 verses. And the Ramayana has how many thousand verses? 24,000 verses. It's a big, long story. So I'm just giving you like a, you know, 35,000 foot snapshot of what's in that book. But we're going to go over a little bit of detail for Diwali, in honor of Diwali. Ravana has been killed by the arrow of Ram. His younger brother's name is Vibhishan. Vibhishan is a devotee. He's not like his brother, a terrorist. He's a devotee. And Ram, being the victor over Ravan, decides that Vibhishan should become the next king. He's enthroned as the next king right there. Of course, then his service, actually before that happens, he's told by Ram to perform religious funeral, although his brother was a demon. When the funeral is going on, the main queen of Ravan and many other of those who were his queens come forward, and a big scene of sobbing and grief over loss of their husband, the king of demons, Ravan. Then the next thing that happens, the coronation of Vibhishan. Then Ram instructs Hanuman to go find Sita, because he already knows where Sita is, because he already visited Sita. Ask Sita to come here. Bring Sita here. So Hanuman does that mission. He informs Sita, Ram is here, Ram is victorious, Vibhishan is now the king. Ram would like you to come. And she's so relieved. Who can imagine? A year of torture and she's relieved. I mean, Ravan said, if you don't submit to me in 1 year, if you don't submit to me in 1 year and become my queen, then I'll have my cooks come here, chop you in little pieces and have you for breakfast. That's Ravan. Not a nice guy. And he didn't violate her involuntarily because there were 8 different curses that said if he ever did this again, he would instantly die because he did it many times before. Violated women forcefully. So he wouldn't do that with Sita because of those curses. So Sita's delighted. Finally, I'll be again with my beloved eternal associate, Lord Ramachandra. When she comes before Lord Ramachandra, he won't even look at her. He said, very well, you're now out of the hands of Ravan, and you may go where you like. And she's like, what? And there's not a lot of conversation, very short, harsh-sounding conversation. You've been touched by another man, and the whole world will criticize me. So we can't be together. Oh, you can imagine the music in the background of, you know, the violins playing, and she's devastated. So she decides to enter into fire. She enters into fire and comes out of the fire, proving that she was pure. So when she's proven, before she was to go into the fire, part of the story I didn't narrate is the demigods, similar to Krishna's appearance, the demigods had requested Vishnu, help, Ravan, he's terrible, we can't do anything because he's so powerful, and Brahma gave him a benediction, so he can't do anything, and help. So Vishnu said, no worries. Very soon I'll appear in this world along with 3 brothers. So now the demigods are there to honor. He fulfilled his promise. He not only appeared, he's destroyed Ravan and all these terrible people with Ravan. And they appeal to Ram, don't let Sita undergo this ordeal of entering into fire. He wouldn't listen. She entered into the fire. She came out of the fire. Now they're together. With the world knowing she's pure beyond question. And that's where we're going to begin. That's all background. That was all like a backdrop, like this thing. It was just a backdrop. Now comes the story. From that point forward, this is Diwali. So one of the demigods that was present was Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva points Ram and his brother Lakshman, look up in the sky, do you see that airplane from the heavenly realm? That's Indra's airplane, or Vimana. And see there at the very top of the Vimana, that's your father, Dasarath. Because when Ram left to go to the forest, his father couldn't maintain his life and expired. He was already very, very, very old. And it was too much for him to bear, and he died. So there's his father, who he didn't even get to see because he's off in the forest, and there he is, situated in heaven. And he had descended to extend himself one final time to Ram. So now, here's a little discussion. Now, this is particularly for the sake of the recording, but also for you here. It's a bit of a puzzle. Why Dasarath didn't go back to Godhead, instead he went to heaven. Now, you two understand the difference between heaven and the kingdom of God, yes? Yes? Not really? Not even Masumenus. Okay. Okay. Let's do this. Here's a universe. According to the Vedas, within the universe, it's half filled with water, like a coconut. There's water in the coconut. And the other half is the planetary systems above the water. At the top of the water is Lord Vishnu, Garbo Dakshayi Vishnu, Lord Vishnu. And from Vishnu comes Brahma, firstborn living being, Brahma. And his planet is the top, and there's another 13 or total 14 planetary systems within each universe. The Earth is in the middle region. There's 7 hellish planets below and 6 more upper planets above. Heaven is in position number 3 of the 7 above. That's the Vedic picture. Heaven is not the topmost planet within this universe, and then there's more and more, they have names, up to Brahmaloka. And then there's a shell, like a coconut has a shell. Only it's not hard like a coconut shell, it's hard of elements, 7 layers, and then outside those 7 layers, there's the causal ocean. So they're like, the universes are likened to footballs floating on an ocean, the causal ocean. That's Mahavishnu, causal ocean. Yes? Okay. And then on the other shore of the ocean is the spiritual sky. And in the spiritual sky, there's spiritual planets. One of those spiritual planets is the planet where Lord Ramchandra eternally resides, and he descends to perform pastimes and returns to that planet. So one would think that the Father would go to that place. When he finishes his activities here, he's absorbed in Ram. He's in the rasa, or the loving exchange with Ram as a father. But it's not just a worldly father, mother. It's eternal, quite different, eternal position. That's his eternal position. And Dasarath is the name of the father. And his position is eternally in the spiritual world. So when he finishes his pastimes, according to Bhagavad Gita, there's an important verse that says, whatever the mind is fixed upon at the time of death, that state you will attain. He's always thinking of Ram, so he should have attained Ram's abode in the spiritual world. However, in Valmiki Ramayana, this is a particular version of the Ramayana, the gold standard version of Ram's pastimes is Valmiki Ramayana. It describes that he went to heaven instead of to the spiritual world. So it's a little confusing. So here's some explanation. Here's 3 possible explanations. Beside this, put that in the parking lot, he should have gone to the spiritual world. He went to heaven. Why? Can you please explain? Our disciplic succession is the Brahma Sampradaya, correct? You don't know. Our disciplic succession is from Lord Brahma. There's another disciplic succession from the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. In their disciplic succession, they explain he should have gone to hell because he took... The king, Dasarath, took a vow that said to my queen, 2 benedictions, whatever you want. And that's a king keeps his word. A man of honor keeps his word. What to speak of a king or a Brahmin? You keep your word, you give your word, you keep your word. So that's binding. But there's something higher than that, a moral code. is the personality of Godhead is the most important, and he should be pleased, that's the most important. But he didn't. He placed his vow above, you know, Ram goes to the forest. It was unbearable for him to do it, but he did it. He died because he did it. And the commentators say he should have. He should have gone to hell, but because he was delivered by his son was the personality. If you send the personality of Godhead to the forest, you're in the doghouse. That's a boo-boo. That's sinful. That's the most, it's terrible. But he did it. Even though he was in that capacity as father. So he has. We take responsibility for the decisions we make, and it should have been, he should have been severely punished. But he went to heaven instead. And it goes on, there was another reason connected to that one, and that was before he died, he made a curse of Kaikei, the one that said, I want these two benedictions. I disown you. I have no connection with you anymore ever, and your son Bharat. That's heavy. In Vedic culture, you don't do that. You don't, there's no divorce. But, you know, we have no connection. So he had to remain to relieve his mother, his wife, and her son Bharat of that strong, those strong words. That's one explanation. And then when he did that, he was able to return to the spiritual world. That's one explanation. There's another explanation that says sometimes we find in scriptures that perfected souls, elevated perfected souls, go to different places to give their holy association. And that's an explanation that is a plausible explanation why he went there instead of to the spiritual world. He was giving his association to, although they're in the heavenly region, there's opulence and all those nice things, but you know they're also attached to that opulence. So he was giving association to them. And one example is found in Mahabharata. You, both of you know Krishna and Arjuna. Yes. Arjuna had, he was one of five brothers, the Pandavas. So when they, after Krishna left, they left this world. And when they left this world, according to Mahabharata, it's a little different than the Srimad Bhagavatam. What the Srimad Bhagavatam says is in their same self-same body, they went to the spiritual world. They went to join Krishna in his pastimes. That's what they did. In Mahabharata, it says, before they did that, they went to heaven, but first they had to see hell. And those in our line, the Brahma Sampradaya personalities, or acharyas, say they did so to give their association to poor Yamaraj. Yamaraj is the lord of death, and nobody says thank you to him. You know, it's a place of suffering. And then the people there that are suffering, they're suffering. So he's so busy doing this job of giving just punishment to people that are sinful, he doesn't get opportunity to associate with saintly people, so the Pandavas went there to give their association to him. That's what the acharyas in our line say. So similarly, one could say, Dasarath went to give his association to the residents of heaven and then returned to the spiritual. He took a little stop on the way. Took a little break. So that's not an uncommon understanding found within scriptures. Great souls will do that sometimes. They'll leave their spiritual position and come to a worldly position somewhere within creation and give their sacred association to others. There's many examples, but because this is taking a long time, there's some very nice examples. Very nice examples. I'll give one of them, maybe not so much for you two, but for the others that may be listening out there in the camera land. I'm looking at the camera. We're on Zoom. In Canto 5 of Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll be happy to hear ahead of time before you get to Canto 5, there is a description of an incarnation of Krishna named Rishabhdev. And Rishabhdev had 100 sons, the chief of whom was named Bharat, who became the next king. And of those 100 sons, 9 were perfected souls, called the Nava. Nava is the Sanskrit word for 9. Nava. Spanish. Nava. Probably. Just like, you know, Manu and Manu. Yeah, so mankind. So the root of languages is Sanskrit. Anyway, so Nava Yogendras, Yoga, Yogi, and the Indra, the Lord of Yogis. There are 9 of them. They were perfected souls. They could travel anywhere in the universe. And they, with no attachment, no passport, no visa, no jet propulsion, they just, by their mystic power, they could go anywhere. And where they had no reason to go anywhere other than giving spiritual life to others. That was their mission. Navyogandras. So it's said about them that they would from time to time go anywhere for that purpose, giving their association to people of this world to give them knowledge of transcendence. So Dasarath was on such a mission, one might say. Because we have to remember, he belongs in the spiritual world eternally. When he left his body, he was thinking of Ram only. So he went to Ram. He went to the spiritual world, but made a little short stopover, etc. So there's different ways of explaining. I'm spending time with this because for those that are a little conversant in what this Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita say, huh? How come he went to heaven? Why didn't he go to the spiritual world? So I'm spending time explaining. The reason I'm spending time explaining is because on this Diwali section of Ramayana, his father came in this aerial craft, airplane, and was introduced by Lord Shiva. See, there's your father. So then his father, this is after his death, but he's now living in the heavenly realm, says to Ramachandra and to his brother Lakshmana. Lakshmana is the one that went with him into the forest. You with me? Ram and Lakshmana and Sita, the three. So Dasarath is the father of both, and of course Sita is his daughter-in-law. So he speaks to all three of them. First he speaks to Ram and said, being in heaven is valued by so many people, but I'm not at all peaceful there. And not only that, I don't like all the praise that people give me all the time. These elevated persons are praising me, and I'm uncomfortable with all of that. But seeing you and your brother Lakshmana looking so well And having heard these nice words that you spoke about your situation, my all that discomfort is now gone, just seeing you. I'm carrying very heavy in my heart these words, harsh words spoken by Kaikeyi, that you should be banished. So he's still carrying some hurt. The king, father of Ram, saying, that you had to endure such hardship has been too much painful for me. But now I understand that Ravana has been destroyed, that the kingdom is soon to be yours when you return. Bharata, your dear brother who I spoke ill against, he's been completely faithful to you. He's just anxious, like anything, for you to return and resume the kingdom after 14 years. He is such a noble personality. And your good mother, his mother's name is Kaushalya, the mother of Ram. Kaushalya will have the good fortune of seeing you again back in Ayodhya. Please return swiftly and relieve her heart from the pain of separation from you. He gets off this airplane and embraces his son. And like the mood of a father, although he's now, 24 plus 14, he's 38, he sets him on his lap and embraces him like a father to a son. This fatherly affection gushing out. And Ram speaks to him and says, I have just one request. You spoke these very strong words, a curse, more or less, against Kaikeyi and Bharat, saying, I disown you and your son. Please withdraw those words so that Kaikeyi not have to suffer. And he replied, so be it. And significant is, Kaikeyi is the one that caused him all that difficulty. And he is interested in her not having to suffer. He's interested in her welfare. Think about it. You know, somebody that's done something that's very, very hurtful, harsh, and you've suffered for many, many, many years. And you're not just forgiving. Okay, I forgive you. He wants them to not have to undergo hardship. That's a great personality. And so Ram is showing, that's his heart. Then Dasarath speaks to Sita and says, please don't hold any hurt towards Ram for having you go through this difficulty of proving your purity. Don't hold it against him, have no hard feelings. By what you did, which a normal person should never have to undergo, what to speak of an exalted person like you, you've demonstrated something that places you above even the most exalted of noble women in all history. No one will ever undergo what you underwent, and you've now demonstrated your superlative purity and your superlative greatness by the grace of Ram. That's what he wanted. Please accept that act of his in that way. Sita smiles, acknowledging. And Dasarath gets back on this Vimana and goes to the heavenly realm on his way to the spiritual world. The scene closes. The next scene that opens is King Indra, along with other devas, because we already heard Lord Shiva is there. Indra is there. There's a scene way back, when Ram first enters the forest, the Dandak forest it's called, where he sees Lord Indra along with a sage named, starts with an S, Sarabhanga. Sage Sarabhanga's ashram is there, and there's Indra having a conversation with him. So when Indra sees Ram, he gets in his conveyance and disappears. And so Ram asks, who was that? When he meets with the sage, he said, oh, that was Indra. He was inviting me to come to the heavenly planets, but I said, no, I want to meet Ram first. I don't want to go to heaven. I want to just, it's more important to me to meet Ramchandra than to go to heaven. Then why did he leave? He said, oh, Indra said, my time to speak with Ram is not now. So his time to speak with Ram comes on Diwali day, or in this relation to the Diwali event. So Indra said, we've come here, you've fulfilled your promise, and we're very indebted to you. Is there something that we can do for you? And Ram says, yes. All the soldiers that died on the battlefield to assist me to get Sita back and to slay Ravan, many of them gave up their lives and many were seriously wounded. They were valorous, they were selfless, and they should be rewarded. Please bring them back to life. And those that have been wounded, please heal their wounds. And when they're back to life, may they reside where there's fresh water rivers and ample fruits and items for them to have for their edibles. Indra said, I've never been asked this one before. But I've never also altered someone's request, so be it. They will restore their lives. He was interested in their welfare. Then it comes time for Ram to depart. Next scene is Vibhishan. Remember his name? He is the younger brother who became the next king. Ravan was killed. His younger brother became the next king, Vibhishan, devotee. Vibhishan said he brought many items for honoring Ram, for paraphernalia for him to wear after bathing, and scented oils and sandalwood paste and camphor and this and that. And Ram said, this is very noble of you and it's proper culture, but I'm in such anxiety. I'm missing Bharat. Bharat is missing me terribly. 14 years have nearly passed. He's taken a vow. If he doesn't come back within 14 years, he'll give up his life. I have to get back quickly. So I have to decline your very gracious offer. And he said, very well, I can arrange for you to get back in one day. We have this special craft. Vimana means like airplane. And there's this airplane that belongs to Kuvera, the treasurer of heaven, stolen by Ravana. And we'll get you there in one day. Pushpaka Vimana will come. Is there any other service I can do for you? And Ram said, yes. Those soldiers who have valiantly fought to help destroy Ravan and present the kingdom to you, they should be properly respected and honored. He said, any king that receives help from soldiers just for the purpose of fighting and winning battles, but doesn't extend to them care and affection, will lose their loyalty. So you have now the treasury of Ravan at your disposal. You should reward them amply with valuables and all kinds of comforts. So immediately Vibhishan did what Ram said. It's a cultural item. But when you receive service from someone, you respect that service that's being done, not just by saying thank you, but you extend something to them. And it's part of culture, part of Ram being the ideal king. That's a nice message. Then Vibhishan makes a request. Sugriva, the king of the armies, and I would like to go with you when you go back to Ayodhya and resume the position as the king. And so Ram agrees. So this mystical craft is called, the name of it is Pushpaka Vimana. It's very expandable. It's expandable like a city. So all the armies and everybody, it got big enough for them to get on, and off they go. And they're journeying across the sea, the 800-mile journey. And as they're passing over places, Ram is describing to Sita, this is where this happened, this is where that happened, this is where Vibhishan surrendered, this is where that we built the bridge to cross the ocean, this is where everything happened, because as they're passing over in this Vimana. The Vimana comes in for a halt or a landing at the capital where the armies came from, a place called Kishkinda. We visited there. It's a really nice place. Really nice place. Mountainous range. She's smiling. You saw pictures. Yeah. You didn't go, right?
I was there.
You were there?
Yeah, I wasn't there in the yoga up there, but I was there in the Kishkinda.
Okay. Okay. So Ram showed Sita, this is where I stayed for the 4 months of the rainy season. Over here is where I met Sugriva, the king of the monkeys. Over here is this, and over there is that. Shabari is another, where a great ascetic lady lived that he had some interactions with. He told the whole story. And the queens of the warriors were allowed to also enter. Vimana expanded a little bit more, and they joined the party, and then off they went to see some other places. There's by names, you know, the names don't mean much to you, but those familiar with Ramayana know the names. It's like your heart goes, ooh. They stayed at Chitrakoot, another nice place we visited. A mountaintop and very serene, and so they went there. They visited the hermitage of Bharadraj Muni. Bharadraj Muni is a person who, when Ram was leaving into the forest, he stayed there for one night. So they went back. The Vimana came in for a landing by his hermitage. And Bharadraj was very happy to see him. But he's a rishi, or in his meditation, he could see things that were going on in a distant place. So Bharadraj Muni, so what we just heard is Ram's retelling the whole of Ramayana to Sita. Bharadraj then tells the whole of Ramayana to Ram. We have many sections like this, you know, short, little short, because it's sung. It's meant as a song. So it's like, you know, a ballad. And there's little phrases, and people familiar just hear the little phrase, and the whole thing plays in their heart. So he described what he knew, what had happened to Ram in the whole journey. So then Ram wants to know, how is Bharat? Because Bharat is the one who became the king in his place for those 14 years of the four brothers. Bharat was the son of Kaikeyi, who wanted the two boons. My son should become king. Bharat said, forget it. I'm not going to become king. What a terrible idea. Fie on you. You're no longer my mother. I reject you. He said very heavy things. Then you send Ram to the forest. I'm going to bring Ram back. She was so surprised. So anyway, how is Bharat doing? Because this is a cultural point. If someone is really attached, Ram was thinking, he's been king for 14 years. Maybe he's thinking like, I'm king, and he wants to be the king. And if he wants to be the king, fine, he can be the king and I'll just assist him. Although I'm the elder brother and so forth. So Bharadraj made it very clear. He doesn't want to be the king. He wants you to be the king. He's barely maintaining his life, just waiting for you to come back. Please rest assured. So from the ashram of Varnadraj, this is a sage living in the forest, Ram sends a messenger, Hanuman. Hanuman's really, really, really expert at being anything. So he's a very, very good diplomat. Go see Guha, who is the forest chieftain, and then go see Bharadraj. Tell Guha, who helped me cross the Ganges, that I'm well and returning to Ayodhya, and he'll be very happy. Then go to, directly to Bharat Ashram and let him know that I'm coming and tell the story, but watch his face very carefully. And you detect, is he attached? Because if he's attached, it's okay. He can be the king. So Hanuman did what he was told. He just loved serving Ram. He went to Guha again. He's the chieftain of tribal people living in the forest, jungle people, junglies, you know, aborigine people. But he is like, he's a very noble man, Guha. Guha means hidden. And Guha, like Ram suspected, would be very happy. Guha then pointed the way to get to Bharat's ashram. Bharat was not living in the kingdom. He was living 2 miles outside of the kingdom, the capital, in a small place called Nandigram. Gram means village. Nandigram was where he lived. Little cottage. Living like Ram, living off roots and wild things and matted hair and not fancy royal clothing. He gave all that up and was wearing forest attire like Ram. He was sleeping on the floor, living the austerity life that Ram was living in the forest. He wouldn't be in a higher position while Ram was in an uncomfortable position. That was his mood. And when Hanuman came, Hanuman had the ability to change shapes. He had mystic power. So he came looking like an ordinary person. And he informed Bharat, I have good news for you. Ram is nearby, and very soon he'll be again in Ayodhya. Bharat was stunned, and then he fainted. He was ecstatic. And when he came to external consciousness, he asked, who are you? Are you a human being? Are you a celestial? Or you're bringing this wonderful news. I'm feeling so fortunate. Who are you? And he disclosed everything. My name is Hanuman, and I helped Ram get Sita back and told the whole story. And he's like hearing the whole Ramayana all over again. Again and again it happens in Ramayana, retelling of the story. And with some details this time, because Hanuman is a detailed person. It's a nice description. Bharata says, let us go at once to meet Ram. So they're at Bharadraj Muni's ashram, but Ram then brings the Pushpaka Vimana close to the ashram. Bharata arranges for the queens and the citizens and 100 elephants and a whole shebang to go marching to where Ram is to receive him. This is Diwali. This is today. And so there's this big festival and gift giving and the mothers, because there's three, Ram offers his respects to all of them. They give their blessings to him. And the citizens and conch shells and kettle drums, musicians and big festivities. So then they go by elephant conveyances to his ashram. And then Bharat has this arrangement. Oh, it's a detail, important detail. The shoes. When Ram refused to go back and be the king, he said, our father wanted me to go to the forest for 14 years. It's the forest for 14 years. There's nothing, no greater happiness in life for me than carrying out the instruction of my father. 14 years I'm in the forest. So finally, Bharata had a trick. He said, place your feet in these golden shoes. I'll put the shoes on the altar, on the throne of the king, and I'll worship the shoes. And you'll rule in the form of your shoes, and I'll assist you. So when Ram is coming back, he brought the shoes, put them on his head, brought them before Ram, placed him before Ram, said, please put them on your feet. You're the king. That's what Ram wanted to know. Is he attached, or does he want, what does he want? If he wants me to be the king, I'll be the king. If he wants to be the king, he's the king, and I'll assist him. So that's what happened. He's got his ruling shoes on. And then the final journey is in the evening hour of this new moon. New moon means maybe you're not so much aware, but just a few days ago we had Ekadasi, right? So Ekadasi is 11. Eka, dasa. Eka means one, dasa means 10. 11, then 12 is Dwadasi, Trayodasi, Chaturdasi. That's today. The 14th day of the moon, today is November 14th, right? And the full moon was November 1. 1 plus 14 is, so that's the full moon, and then the new moon, dark moon. That, so they came into Ayodhya at night in the dark moon, so there's all these lamps everywhere to light up the night. And it's that the lamps are doing more than just lighting up the night. It's their hearts. They're offering their hearts to Ram. And there's elaborate description of the festivities and musicians and brahmanas and decorations and the opulence of Ayodhya displayed in full splendor. Ram is coming back. And then there's pages and pages of how they received him and gifts that they gave him. And one of the things I like a lot, Radha likes it too, Ram gave to Sita a pearl necklace. Ram gave to Sita a pearl necklace and said, please give this as a gift to the person who fits the following description. And he described the qualities of Hanuman. And Sita could understand what he was doing. You know, he's heroic. He's very intelligent. He's very clever. He's very powerful. He's this, he's that. He's a perfect gentleman, a perfect in his speech, this and that. She's smiling as she's listing the qualities, and she looks at Hanuman. And she goes right to Hanuman and places the pearl necklace on Hanuman. And Hanuman's thrilled to receive from Ram, or via Sita from Ram, this honorific. It's not just the value of a pearl necklace, it's the honor of Ram and Sita to Hanuman. So it's a very nice event. Coronation of Ram, big portion of the Ramayana, just like a big portion is the wedding of Ram. Then another big portion is the coronation of Ram, just like when people get married, it's a big deal. And, you know, when someone gets coronated, it's also a big deal. So it's a big deal. It meant pages and pages of what happens. And Ram wants Lakshman, his dear brother, to be the incumbent king, the prince regent, it's called. And he says no. And he tries to persuade him, and he says no, and tries some other ways, and he says no. So finally, he asks Bharat to take that role. Bharat says yes. So the character of Bharat is another wonderful topic, but that's not a Diwali topic exactly. So Ram becomes king. Bharat is the assistant. Sita is ruling with Ram. And they rule for a long, long time. Because it's a previous age, according to Ramayana, Valmiki Ramayana, he rules for 11,000 years. 11,000 years. Because people had longer duration of life. It's something like ruling for 11 years in our time because of life duration without going into the detail. So, because this is very early in Treta Yuga, life duration was longer. And everything was flourishing and prosperous and so on. And then he returned to the spiritual world with his associate, with everybody except one person, Hanuman. He requested Hanuman to stay on earth and recite the glories of Ram for the benefit of the world, which Hanuman is still doing today. Then we find that in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. You're in for a big, lots of fun reading all these wonderful things in detail. So that's what Hanuman is doing, following, serving Ram. So there we go. That's Diwali. And I'm supposed to begin a class in 45 minutes, and we have some time for discussion between now and the next class, and we have to take a little break to set up everything. So this is COVID times. This is there's a group of devotees in Houston, Texas that wanted me to speak something about Diwali. And they're 1 hour earlier. So their evening class on Saturday is at 7:30, which is 8:30 our time. So you're aware, right? We have another class coming. We're going to have a little discussion on the Diwali topic, or for that matter, whatever you'd like. See if there's some questions or discussion. So yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I have two questions. So in Ramayana, Vishnu's chakra and conch for Vishnu's darshan disc and his conch shell, according to what I've read in books, were incarnated as Bharata and Shatrughna. Have they incarnated in Krishna Lila too, or?
Let me step back from your question. There are different. In Padma Purana, there's one explanation. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a different explanation. The Srimad Bhagavatam explanation I'm more familiar with, and that's Vasudeva Sankarshan Pradumna Aniruddha. No. You two, this doesn't mean anything to, so don't worry about it. This is, you know, a 201 question instead of 101. So, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, they correspond with Vasudeva, Pradumna, Sankarshan, and Aniruddha. Sankarshan is Lakshman. Just like Balaram is Lakshman. Balaram is Sankarshan. So, that's Bhagavatam. Now we'll go over here. And the Sri Vaishnavas, on the authority of Padma Purana, accept what you said. So now go back to your question. Is there something that corresponds? Not exactly. Not exactly. But Lord Vishnu, we're back to you two now. Lord Vishnu, Krishna has two arms and he's playing a flute. Lord Vishnu has four arms and has symbols in each of these arms. Two for benediction, a lotus, and a conch shell. Like the conch shell, he touches on the head of Dhruva, right? You're not sure about that one. He touches the head of Dhruva with his conch shell. It's a benediction item or facility. And then two for admonishing, a club and a discus, Sudarshan, you know, right? Mm-hmm. Sudarshan Chakra. So those are weapons? Yes, yes. Weapons and benediction giving. Those. So what she's saying is, according to a Padma Purana, or according to something that she read somewhere, the brothers, along with Ram, they are manifestations or incarnations of these items within Vishnu's hands. So, Sankarshan, the disc, the club, and the conch. So, she wants to know, is there something like that in Krishna's Leela? And it's not exactly, it's what Krishna's Leela is, Vasudeva Pradyumna Sankarshan Aniruddha. That's the Bhagavatam perspective. Okay?
I have a second question.
Two-of-one question. Don't worry about it.
Why did Dasharatha disown Bharata even though Bharata didn't do anything?
Why did who do what?
Why did Dasharatha disown Bharata along with Kaikeyi?
Because he was angry at Kaikeyi. He was taking it out on her son. She was doing it, and her mind said it was for her son. So, you know, when you get angry, you say things you don't necessarily really mean, and then regret it later. And only he was still holding on to it. That was because of her, because she was doing what she was doing, at least in her mind, for her son. So I disown both of you.
Thank you,
Maharaj. Okay. Anger gets the best of people sometimes. Do we have those wipes? Let's do the disinfecting wipe. I see you, Radha. But he's got the microphone first. No, you go. You go. Please go. You've got the microphone.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. So I heard 800 miles was the distance between,
the jump.
Bridge.
Yes.
The bridge that was.
Yes.
Constructed. So, in today's world, the distance between Lanka and India, is it the same?
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
I don't know. I don't know. Don't go there. I can't help you with that question. You can go look it up in an atlas somewhere if you like. I don't know.
Sure. Another question was, I think probably, this is a verification question of my understanding. So, Dasharatha went to the
Indraloka
to give his association, is what I've heard.
That's one way of looking at what. That's one explanation of why he went there. There's other explanations.
Okay.
Don't ask me for the definitive one.
No. My verification of my understanding was. In terms of who are more fallen, is not the residents of Indraloka, rather the residents of the earthly realm. So what? So why he? Valid question is he cannot come back to.
He was on Sankirtan. He can go all kinds of places on Sankirtan. Why not? They're suffering in the heavenly realm too. And that was what he was attesting to. I'm not peaceful here. People go there thinking, oh, it's going to be heavenly. And it's not so heavenly after all. That was his experience. But you know, they need association as well. So why not go to where people need association, wherever it is?
Hmm.
Get ready for Radha's question. She's good at questions. The online people write to me and say they really enjoy when Radha asks her questions. They at least stay online until Radha asks her questions. Go ahead. With that build up.
Is there any pastime, like the Damodar pastime in in Ramayana when it was childhood, because in my understanding, Dashrath and Kausalya didn't know that Lord Ram was the
That's
supreme
correct.
Personality of Godhead.
That's
so
correct.
They would have like very similar love.
Yes, correct. You're right. You're right. But the answer to your question is, in Ramayana, there are something like 14 verses only that describe the childhood pastimes of Ram, Lakshman, Bharata, and Shatrughna. In contrast to volumes that are in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So there's very, very little. So there's nothing comparable in Ram's pastimes in Valmiki Ramayana. Next.
I mean, I do have a left-off question from the today morning.
Go ahead.
Are there any other examples of just like Dashrath going back to heaven? And, yeah.
Any other examples like that?
Yeah.
The only thing that comes close that I can think of is, it's pretty technical, but sometimes, this is now compliments of our Acharya Jiva Goswami, sometimes living entities that are destined to achieve Vaikuntha, they first make a little pit stop in the Brahmajyoti. They enter into the Brahmajyoti, and then it doesn't give the technology of how they move on to Vaikuntha, but other than the benediction that the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives them to enter into the spiritual realm. A specific example, and there's others, is Agasura. This is from Krishna book. Yeah, the big serpent. So his soul merged into the body of Krishna, and then he eventually, thereafter, he achieved Vaikuntha realm, a form like Krishna, forearm form like Vishnu, in the Vaikuntha realm. So somehow transferred, doesn't give the slow motion detail of how that happened. But merging, then enter to a higher realm. So sometimes, it's not exactly what you're asking, but it's something like making a pit stop on the way to a higher destination kind of thing.
Questions. Kind of like a follow-up question on one of the questions that I asked in the morning.
Go ahead.
Can Lord Krishna, something like Lord Chaitanya, appear again in the earth in this like lifetime?
In this lifetime?
Yeah.
Well, he can do what he likes, but he comes in scheduled incarnations. So you may like, and it's possible, certainly, he can do anything he likes, but he doesn't. He comes at scheduled times. The incarnation for this balance of this yuga is the holy name. That's the incarnation. Namavatar.
Related to incarnation. Will you just explain about Kalki coming, like how the experience is and how it will be that time? Because I'm a bit curious about Kalki coming.
What's she asking?
She's asking what Kalki about the
symptoms?
Yeah, conditions under which Kalki comes.
Well, it's right in scripture. I don't know anything other than what's what's in the Bhagavatam. At the little bit that I know, I don't know so much, but the little bit that I know, it is at the very, very end of Kali Yuga, when it gets like the worst it can get, he appears and he's riding on a white horse and he has a sharp sword and he delivers, he liberates all the remaining people on the earth planet in the human life form and delivers them, liberates them. So the conditions are, you know, what you find in the 12th canto Bhagavatam, horrible. And he, to rescue them, he comes and liberates them.
So all those, so
Kalki.
You can find Kalki in the 12th canto.
Yes, 12th canto.
Okay, Mama.
Yeah?
I wanted to bring up two clarification questions. One is, I've heard another explanation about Rama's description of heaven. It's in Nityananda Pandu's class where he was referring to
Dashrath going to heaven?
Yes, he was talking about that in Ramayana, when heaven is quoted, it actually means the spiritual world. That's another version that I've heard.
This question was asked, I asked the question, and he's one of the persons I asked, but I asked it separately because I wanted to get separate answers. Mm-hmm. And what he wrote is a little different than what you just said. Mm-hmm. Because it's specific to say that he descended with Indra's Vimana. So it wasn't the spiritual world. Now, here's a detail. You ready? There's an Indra in Krishna Loka. That's the prototype from which Indras of the heavenly realm come. But that's really far out. But that's not what's being referred to. It's referred to, so what the Swarga generally means heaven, or Amara, where persons are deathless. It's where they live a long time. But then there's the literal I'll share with you, you know, the exact text that he sent me, so you can, you know, you can edit what you say going into the future, because it's not what you just said is not what he wrote to me.
I did not have any discussion on this particular topic because this is the first time I'm also hearing about Dashrath Maharaj coming with Indra. That was when Dashrath Maharaj left his body and goes back to heaven. In that context, the discussion about heaven.
Okay.
So I understand that this is a different context.
Okay, different context for sure.
Second question is, Dashrath Maharaj is coming from heaven where the time is operating in a different way.
Like yes.
One day of the heavenly realm is equivalent to 1 year here. So that means Dashrath Maharaj pretty much spent 14 days there and then came with Indra. Is my understanding correct?
I think your numbers are wrong, first of all. 1 day is 6 months. 1 night is 6 months. 1 day and night is one year here is 1 day and night there.
So I'm just thinking that 14 years here has passed. So
14 days there. That's a tricky answer.
So he spent a little bit of time and he did like heaven. That's what it looks like.
Um, I'm not really good with all of this, so I'd like to say, let me consider carefully this suggestion. But whether he was there for 14 days or for 14 years, it wasn't the spiritual world that was heaven. And why did he go there instead? The question is, why did he go there instead of heaven, instead of the kingdom of God? Why did he go to heaven? So this distinction, heaven is within the universe, and the kingdom of God is in the spiritual sky, and there are two different places. One is eternal, and the other is created and destroyed after some time. Heaven is created and destroyed after some time. It's within everything within the universe is temporary, including heaven, and people that live there and the whole shebang. Everything within the universe is temporary. And then there's what's beyond the universe that's eternal. Like the soul is eternal. The body is temporary. The body may be short-lived, medium-lived, or long-lived like heaven. In Brahmaloka, life is even longer. But there's death. The whole universe is withdrawn, and the heaven is withdrawn, and it's the whole show is temporary. The kingdom of God, nothing is temporary. Everything is eternal. That's a big distinction. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's, one of his advices to Arjuna is, don't aspire for higher planets. Aspire for going beyond birth and death. Because even in the highest planet, even Brahmaloka, what to speak of heaven, birth and death, everything is temporary. Don't go for the temporary. Go for that which is eternal. When you're unemployed, that's what you do. Focus on the eternal. Because that's the place of real shelter. The other is, you know, come and goes. Comes and goes. I see your hand, Radha. I'm just letting our... Either of you have something you'd like to discuss on this topic, Diwali, or anything at all under the sun? Okay. And I think we're going to have to stop at 15:15.
There is one funny question.
Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is more a clarification. As we're speaking about the heavenly planets, and the spiritual planet as well. So you're saying that's all temporary when it comes to heavenly planets.
Yes.
So if someone reaches to the heavenly planet, is there like a time how long they're there?
Yes. Yes.
Do they end up coming back to this world?
Yes.
Is there any chance to rise from it?
Yes. It's generally speaking, when somebody gains opulence, their tendency is to be the enjoyer of that opulence, not to go further. It's doable, but generally, you know, think of wealthy people, or, you know, they're not, I want to go beyond being wealthy. I want to go to the eternal. They're not thinking like that. So, shine punye marcha lokam vishanti. Generally, they go to the heavenly planets, enjoy the opulence of that piety that took them there. When their pious credits, their bank balance of pious credits is spent, they come back again. Bhagavad Gita. Marcha lokam vishanti. Generally, that's the pattern. Like a Ferris wheel. Generally. Can they go beyond? Yes. Does it happen? Not so often. Because they're intoxicated with the opulence and enjoying their opulence. Commonly.
So there's opulence in the heavenly world. Like, what kind of opulence?
Long life, beauty, riches, artistic skill, refinement in music, refinement in architecture. Everything is refined. Everything. opulence that's all kinds of opulence, whatever people think of as opulence.
Silly question. How do we get away from these opulence? How do we try to fix our mind?
Practice it now. That's how you stay away. You know, so it's a pretty simple principle. If there's a higher happiness, over there is a lesser happiness, it's not hard. This is, according to the Bhagavatam, this middle planetary region where we are right now, I mean, it has its unpleasantries, but it's not too opulent either. It's not like infatuation with opulence. Now, people are still chasing after it anyways, because that's passion. But the way to avoid it or minimize its influence is find happiness in the eternal. Bhagavad Gita. When there's happiness within, then tribulation on this side and opulence on that side, the mind isn't moved because there's happiness within. And the happiness within sounds, you know, kind of new agey or lovely or something, but it's a spiritual happiness is not just new agey. It's within. It's happiness of the soul. And happiness of the soul means connecting with the Supreme Soul through love. So this is a really good place to practice. It's not too much this and not too much that. You know, down is too much that, and up here it's too much this. So we're in a good situation, in one sense, for overcoming the allure, but it's the tendency is very strong, nonetheless. Very strong. So take good association and regular hearing and a heart that's soft. And it's hard to have a soft heart in the world today. So good association helps. You have something you want to ask, share, process? All these names, little not information.
I have one more.
Okay.
The sacrifice of Sita that she walked into fire to show that she is pure. Is that the golden age?
No. It's there's different renderings or different versions of Ramayana, but it was a gesture. I'm hesitating going into more details because you're already too many details. But it's not the golden age. It's indicating something that's supremely pure is not going to be burned by fire. So she was supremely pure. She entered and came out untouched. It's, in one sense, it's symbolic, but it's more than symbolic. It's, you know, she demonstrated her purity beyond anyone's question. Okay, so. Online. Do the online question, please. And we're at 13 minutes after the hour. Got to get ready for the Houston people. Oh, gosh.
Question from Snehavali Mataji. One clarification question. For how long Mother Sita stayed in Lanka? I think I heard in Dandaka Forest Yatra that she was kidnapped before rainy season, and by October, November, Ravan was slain.
My understanding, what she told Hanuman is Ravana had given her 1 year. And if she didn't submit within 1 year, he was going to finish her. So it was less than a year. whatever the month began. Yes, before the rainy season. And then here we are in November. So 1 year, less than 1 year. Okay. So we have a battle between, you know, I want to prepare for the evening class and they want me to do an RT for the Bhagavatam, and Radha wants her question answered. You'll pass. Okay. Okay. Tomorrow morning. Good. Okay. Thank you.